Public Prosecutor en Las Palmas Public Prosecutor's Office. This is in the Canary Island. And I am in charge of all the cases of trafficking of human beings, migrant smuggling, unaccompanied minors, and also I am the responsible of the Department of International Cooperation. So I deal also with all the mutual legal assistance as well. First of all, I would like to thank the organization for inviting me as a speaker to this seminar. And, well, with this presentation, I will try to explain some aspects of the protection of victims of trafficking human beings in the Spanish perspective. When we speak about, when we talk about the trafficking of human beings or protection of victims, we can be talking hours. So it is really, really difficult, impossible, to explain all protection system in 30 minutes. So I have decided only to highlight some issues that will allow you at the end of my presentation have an overview of our protection system. The issues I would like to talk about are the following. First of all, why it is important to give protection to the victims. Many things have been told by the professor. Remember, it was Petrovic.
Yeah, it still is.
I think. Yeah. Then I would like to say something about our legal framework. And then how is the financing protection in Spain? And at the end, I would like to speak about the right of the victim to receive financial compensation as a right of the victim as well. And if the victim has this right, who must pay it?
The other direction.
Well, let us start. Trafficking in human beings has been considered one of the most serious crimes in the world, a serious human rights violation, the modern slavery, and a very lucrative activity of organized crime. If it is the second most lucrative criminal activity after weapon trafficking and before drugs trafficking. We can ask also if THV is one of the most serious manifestations of violence against women. Well, there are many voices that say that it is true that this is a general characteristic of these offenses. Well, in my opinion, although this is true when women and girls are involved, it is not, for me, a general characteristic of the trafficking of human beings, because everyone can be exploited, labor or sexual. Everyone has can be forced to beg, or everyone has vital organs that can be removed. So everyone has the same right to be protected, not only women or girls. Of course, there are vulnerable groups as women and girls, but for me, everyone has the same right to be protected. So this is not a general characteristic of the crime. In Spain, we have also another problem with the concept of violence against women, because Spain doesn't have the meaning of the Istanbul Convention. It means that in Spain, violence against women is only the violence that happened inside the couple or ex-couple. So we don't have any gender perspective of the offenses. So in Spain, we can say that trafficking in human beings is a characteristic of the offenses against a woman. Well, in addition to be a very serious crime, it is a very complex crime to investigate it. There are many difficulties to investigate it. There are difficulties to obtain evidence. There are necessary many different investigation techniques, and international cooperation must be used normally, not only wiretaping or police surveillance or other normal investigation techniques. It's very, very complex. Then there are legal technical difficulties. We must prove multiple punishable acts, not only one. We must prove a mean, one or more means. It is very, very difficult to prove. And then we must prove the exploitation. And there is the problem. We must prove the purpose of exploitation. It's not necessary to have the exploitation. It's necessary to prove the purpose of exploitation. And this intention is the difference that makes trafficking human beings than migrant smuggling. In my experience, to prove everything is very, very, very difficult. And sometimes the result of our work, not only the work of the prosecutors, but also the work of the police, is for nothing. And at the end, an absolved sentence make everyone disappointed of our work. And then we have also the special position of the victim. The victim must have a different treatment than other victims that are involved in other kind of offenses. Well, because we are in a serious crime, a strong answer given by the state is necessary. But in this type of offenses, we have two interests that are in a tense relationship, and they collide. The interest of the state to punish and give a strong answer, and the interest of the victim to be protected. Which interest is the best? Always the victim interest to be protected. It is not necessary, it is sometimes I am prosecutor and sometimes I want to go to trial and to have a condemned sentence, but sometimes it is not possible. Sometimes always we must care about the victim's protection. And why? Because in this offense, the legal right that we protect is dignity. Of course, there are other legal rights. For example, freedom, sexual freedom, health. But dignity is the most important. Dignity defines the person. And dignity is the high quality of the person. So because dignity is affected, trafficking in human beings converts people in goods or things that can be lent, sold, or exchanged. That is why we must protect victims, and not only in the penal procedure, also in their lives. Well, which are the reasons to protect victims of THV? Many of them, the professor have talked about it. So, first of all, we have the humanitarian reasons. First, because dignity is affected. And why? Because we are with vulnerable persons. Of course, there are groups more vulnerable than others. Children, women, unaccompanied children are especially vulnerable. Sometimes, traffickers prefer saying to the people that they are adults and not minors, because it's better for them. Because if they say that they are adults, like Nigerian girls, they go to a migrant detention center, or they can go to a crossroads center, for example, if they are pregnant. And it is easier for the traffickers to recruit them in these centers. But if we say that this is a minor, the minor will be more protected in a minor center. They are foreigners, they are alone or in charge of babies or small children. When they have babies or small children, the babies and small children can be used as threatened. And it is also an additional way to exploit this person. They don't speak the language of the country. They are alone, of course. They don't trust in justice or in any person who tries to approach them. This is a consequence of their vital experience. They don't trust in justice on anyone in their country, so they don't have any reason to trust in us, in the authorities, or in any person who wants to help them in the country where they are exploited. Traffickers, they say, don't trust. If you say something, you will go back to your country. They don't have any money, no studies, no training to get a job in a short time. And there are a lot of difficulties to integrate into society by themselves. And how can we protect them? Well, giving them the maximum facilities to exercise their rights, reducing of unnecessary procedures that involves the second victimization, granting them effective information, guidance on the rights and service, giving them the possibility of being accompanied by the person that they designate in all their paperwork. And who can protect them? Public institutions, law enforcement, NGOs, and the civil society. Inside the judicial reasons to protect a victim are the following. Why must we protect inside the process? Because they are special witnesses. It means that all the victims are witnesses, but not all the witnesses are victims. We must identify the victim. Traffickers will try to influence their testimonies. Traffickers will have an extra effort to discredit them, maintaining all types of threats, direct or veiled coercion to them or their families wherever they are. How can we protect them inside the penal procedure? With special law to protect witnesses, avoiding visual confrontation with the traffickers, using voice distorters, avoiding the formulation of questions that are completely inappropriate. In my experience, we can ask a victim if he was a prostitute or not before to be in our country. But I think that it is totally inappropriate to ask the victim if she is still a prostitute after 2 years. This is a life, the freedom to be what they want. Or, for example, sometimes question like you are here and your statement is because you want the paper to be legal in Spain, for example. It is not a matter why the person is saying what she is saying. And then using the right interpreters. This is very important. We have talked about interpreters. I prefer always interpreters that are women, and they can also they deal with the legal language, because sometimes when you have an interpreter that can understand legal terms, sometimes we have problems, and the victim must trust also in the interpreter. So it is better when we have a woman. And who can protect them? First prosecutors, then the criminal inquiry judge, and the court's magistrate. When I speak about the criminal inquiry judge, I speak in the characteristic of the Spanish legal system. In Spain, it's not the prosecutor who leads the prosecution, the investigation. It's only the inquiring judge. But reality show us that normally a prosecutor, a specialized prosecutor, is with the criminal inquiry judge, and the prosecutor impulses the investigation. But in Spain, normally the criminal inquiry judge must protect also the victim. But the most powerful judicial reason in Spain for protect a victim inside the judicial process is that the victim's statement is the most important evidence for the tribunal. Magistrates want to listen to them directly to confirm their conviction about the facts. For magistrates, although there are other evidence, normally the sentence will be based on the testimony of the victim. Well, my last case was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I have a case of boy lovers of Romania. They recruit victims in Romania. After 1 month in Romania, they come to Spain, and they the only way to have a good life together was that the woman must be exploited sexually. In the club where the lover boy knew immediately in Romania. I have the statements of the victims. One was a protected witness, and the other never was in the investigation. Never. I have many word tapings. In these tapings, we can hear how they speak about kicking them, threatening them, or the victim saying, "Please, please, don't kick me more." At the trial, one victim say, "Yes, he kicked me. He tried to kill me, and the lover boy was imprisoned in another case of violence against women, because cases of violence against women are preferred and more and quickly than trafficking in human beings cases." And the other victim suddenly appears. We never have listened to her. How she was there? Of course, the accused family bring the victim to the trial. When I ask the victim to the trial, what means the white taping we can hear about, "Please, please, don't kick me more," she said that it was a sexual game. Although I have the word tapings, at the end, the sentence was absurd. So it means that judges only want to hear victims' statements. And how's the THB victims protection in Spain? Well, first, I would like to explain a preliminary issue. To be considered a victim, it is necessary to be identified as such and also be declared as such in an administrative procedure. The procedure will be resolved by an administrative authority depending on the government. During this process, the victim is an alleged victim, and law enforcement should give them the same protection as other victims involved in other crimes. I make two critics to this procedure in Spain. First, if the prosecutor is the authority in charge of the protection according to our regulation, and who must coordinate all the people who deal with them, it is not reasonable that this important decision is beyond the control of the prosecutor. And secondly, the administrative decision cannot be appealed. It is not possible a jurisdictional revision. For me, this is a violation of the right to effective judicial protection that everyone has. Our legal framework, we can distinguish the international framework. First of all, the United Nations, we have the protocol to prevent, suppress, and punish trafficking in persons, especially women and children. It was officially published in 2003, but it was not directly applicable. We need an internal law. It happens in 2010. In the Council of Europe, we have the Convention on Action Against THB, officially published in 2009, entering into force in 2009. It is important because the Council of Europe has done steps for protection victims in gender equality. And then we have the in the European Union, the directive of 2011. There's a mistake there. This directive is very important in Spain because the directive obliges Spain to introduce in our criminal code the trafficking of human beings. Before 2010, Spain was talking about trafficking in human beings in many international seminars. But The most important is that we didn't have the offense in our criminal code. It was in 2010 when the criminal code was amended, and we have this offense. And then we have also the directive of 2029/2012, which establishes minimum standards on the rights, support, and protection of victims' crime. Our national framework, we must distinguish a general normative and a specific normative for protection victims of THP. First of all, the general normative, we have the articles 109 to 122 of the Criminal Code. These articles contain the regulation of the right to have a civil liability inside the penal process when someone has been harmed by a crime. Normally, it is a monetary compensation. Then we have the law of protection of witnesses and experts. For me, the law should be deeply revised. It's not a good law for protecting victims. And then we have the law 2-2015 on the standing of victims of crime. This law is a consequence of the directive I have talked before, and the law established all the judicial measures that can be applied to a victim, whatever the crime that they have suffered. Our specific normative for victims of THP are the following. First of all, the Article 59b of the Organic Law of Foreigners. Here we can find the legislation about the reflection and recovery period. Then we have the Article 177b(11) of the Criminal Code. This article contains the exception of criminal liability when victims have committed offences while they were suffering exploitation. Then we have the Articles 114 to 146, the Foreigners Rules. We can find the regulation of the proceedings to recognise officially a victim of THP. And then we have the Asylum Law that recognize the specific needs and protection of THP victims that are also asylum seekers. The problem with the law is that Spain has not developed the law. We don't have any rules, and so we can't apply the measures that the law contains. And which is the conclusion that we can come to of our legal framework? Well, although there are specific laws in Spain to protect certain victims, for example, with the law 35 of Help of Assistance for Victims of Violence Offences and Against Sexual Freedom, the Organic Law of Protection Measures Against Gender Violence, and the Law of Comprehensive Recognition of Protection of Victims of Terrorism, we don't have any specific law for the protection of victims of THP. Although this is not a problem, there are some voices in Spain that say that it's better if we have a comprehensive legislation for trafficking human beings. In this case, there are voices that say that it's better to follow the recommendation of the Modern Law Against Trafficking in Persons that the United Nations recommended. But the document that contains the regulation of protection in Spain is the Protocol for Protection of Victims in THP for 2011. What can we say about this protocol, about this document? First of all, it was a result of the work of the High Foreign Prosecutor in 2011. It was created to provide victims a holistic protection. The importance of the document is undeniable because it was signed by many ministries: Justice, Home Office, Labour, Social Security, Health, Social Service and Equality, the Judicial Power, and the General Public Prosecutor Office. The protocol has to be completed by the Protocol for Unaccompanied Minors that has provision for the protection of these kind of victims. Something important: the document is only a protocol, it's not source of right. And the protocol placed the prosecutor as the ultimate responsible for all action by all the agents involved, It is a consequence of the competence and functions that the prosecutor has in Spain. Although we don't lead the investigation, in Spain prosecutors have a lot of functions and competence. And this is one of the competence of prosecutors. Of course, the most important is to prosecute to the prosecution of offences, but we deal with other issues, and the protection of victims and the protection of minors is one of our functions. The object of the protocol is to establish operational guidelines for detection, identification, support and protection victims of THP, foster coordination among the institutions involved, and to define the mechanisms for relationships among authorities with responsibility in the field. The protocol gives guidelines for detention and identification. Who can identification victims? Police, labor inspection, social servants, NGOs, border law enforcement, responsible at migrant detention centers. They give guidelines for evaluation of the risks that victims are exposed to, information about their rights, protection measures, and victims and witnesses, and their reflection and recovery period. Now, I would like to speak about the financing of protection. The assistance and the protection will be given by specialized NGOs, but also by the public institution. As there is not a comprehensive law against trafficking in human beings, there is not economic memory for this development. But it is necessary to have a budget. We can find the budget in the National Action Plan to combat THP. This action plan has five priorities.
Change the plan.
Well, the action plan has five priorities. The priority two is the priority that have the money account for the protection of victims of trafficking human beings. The budget assigned is 19,253,154.24 euros. And at least I would like to speak about the right of the victim to a financial compensation. In addition to the right to be protected and assisted by NGOs and public institutions, victims have the right to receive financial compensation from the perpetrators of the crime. This is the general rule in Spain. Spanish legislation allows for such compensation in criminal proceedings. It is the so-called civil responsibility that I have speak before. So if the traffickers of other perpetrators have to pay the financing compensation, there are some conditions. The conditions are the following. There must be a sentence that condemns the payment of that responsibility. The cooperation of the victim, it is necessary. The victim must show interest in that compensation. To calculate it, it is advisable to have a report from a specialist in forensic medicine. To guarantee the rights, a patrimonial investigation would be necessary. Confiscation of assets and seizures are necessary. And then we can ask if the state must pay also a compensation to the victim. As I have said before, in Spain there are specific laws that recognize a financial compensation for some victims. We can ask if for THP victims it is possible to apply one of these laws. As the concept of the violence against women, it is not the concept that Spain maintains, it's a special law, we can't apply this law. We can maintain that the THP victims are sexual victims. In that case, we could apply the specific law, but in my knowledge, I don't know if any claim in which that law has been applied has prospered.